Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jen, and you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. This is Monday evening, January 27th, and I'm really been looking forward to this show for quite some time. I've got a wonderful colleague and good friend on who's going to be talking tonight about speaking spiritually and how to do that safely, talking about the organization that she and her family have started. We're also just going to, you know, we're going to be open to your calls. So I hope that you will take the opportunity to call in whenever the spirit moves. The call-in number, let me give that to you as we start. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And I'm Reverend Jennifer Kotler. You can connect with me certainly by calling in, talking on the show. If you're trying to reach me, if you have a question, you're welcome to go to my website. I'm at SEED Spiritual Coaching. SEED stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. And our website is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. And you can reach me at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. And tonight, as I said, I've got a wonderful colleague and friend, Ginny Brown, who is one of the founders of Seek Spiritually. And besides that, I'm going to ask Ginny to just introduce herself and give you good information about her. Ginny, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. So happy to have you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. So a little bit about my background. My husband and I live in Westtown, New York, which is a little town on the west side of Orange County, and we've raised four children. I worked for the Archdiocese of New York for a number of years doing parenting education. It was a real ministry going into parishes and schools to help create support systems for parents in raising their children and helping them understand that this was a profession and something that women especially needed to take great pride in and understand how important it was for their family. In more recent years, I've worked for a mediation agency here in Orange County, done a lot of educational work, and I'm also a licensed clinical social worker and have a private practice in Middletown. So that's a little bit of my professional background. And we began Seek Safely after my daughter's death in 2009.
Can you just tell us a little bit more about sort of how the genesis of the organization and what happened with Kirby?
Right. Our oldest daughter, Kirby, was a pretty amazing young woman. I often describe her as being drunk on life. She just embraced life, lived life to the fullest. She mountain biked, climbed, rappelled. She was a horsewoman. She rode horses. She was a great adventurer. She had done a lot of traveling. And she lived in the Baja in Mexico, in San Jose del Cabo, and had a decorative painting business with another woman. And one of the reasons she loved living in Mexico was because she loved surfing. She surfed the big waves. So Kirby was a great adventurer and was always looking to improve her life, become better, become more, develop her talents. And in October of 2009, she went to a spiritual warrior retreat that was given by James Ray, who was an internationally known motivational speaker that had been promoted on national media. He had been on Oprah three times, and very charismatic, very dynamic speaker. And unbeknownst to us, a lot of what he had purported to know in terms of background and education and training was not accurate. And at this spiritual warrior retreat that Kirby went on, it was a 5-day retreat experience in Sedona, Arizona, and she was prepared to do physical things there. Kirby was a very physical person, but I don't think she was prepared for the kind of mind control that I think happened over the course of the week, serious sensory deprivation that she experienced. And the culminating event was a sweat lodge. And it was in that sweat lodge that my daughter died. The man did not know what he was doing. Two other people died as well. At the end of that event, 20 people were taken to the hospital, and some have sustained permanent damage, permanent physical damage. He was indicted. We went through a trial in 2011, and he was convicted of negligent homicide, served 20 months in an Arizona prison, was just released this past July. So that's a little bit of the background for us. The fact that Kirby, who, though she was an adventurer, was very safety conscious, the fact that she lost her life was so horrifying to us, and we kept saying, how could this have happened? And if it could happen to her, it could happen to anybody.
Sure.
It was so horrifying. And the more we learned about how he had conducted the course of the week, and the fact that when she was in distress during that 2.5-hour sweat lodge ceremony, he did nothing. He ignored her. He said, we'll take care of that later. When it was all over, he left and went up to his own tent and showered and ate. And meanwhile, emergency vehicles are arriving on the scene. People are being airlifted out of the area. It was horrifying. He had no risk management plan. He had no real medical support in place after asking people to do challenging physical stuff. So part of our concern was that it never occurred to me, first of all, that someone would lie about their background. I'm a pretty trusting person. And it never occurred to me that someone would run an event like that without having to have medical support available. You go to a marathon, you go to a Little League event, and there's an EMT on the sidelines. There's no regulations in this self-help industry. They don't have to provide medical support even when offering a physically challenging event. And I was totally unaware of that. I had no idea that there were no regulations in place and that, you know, they pretty much can do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. I would guess that, you know, you would be like most folks, that you wouldn't have any clue that industries like this and events like this, particularly where they're commercial and people are paid money to be there, that there aren't adequate precautions in place. And yeah,
this was expensive. So we really, you would anticipate and expect a professionally run event, and the fact that he had no medical support there was just was mind boggling to me. I just couldn't believe that could even take place in America. You know, we're very safety conscious. We're very safety conscious. So. That was kind of horrifying. You know, people signed waivers, and this is another thing that I've learned, is that when you go to an event and you sign a waiver where you're kind of indemnifying the person against any kind of, you know, that you can't take any legal action against them, you don't know. You assume that that person will do everything they can to minimize your risk and at least protect you if something does go wrong. But in fact, that's not true. It's an assumption. And for all those people who were at that event in Sedona, it was an erroneous assumption because he did not have a risk management plan and he did not do things to minimize their risk. So he made the event hotter than it had been in past years. He knew that this was dangerous. In past years, people had gotten sick, had passed out, had to be revived. there were cases in the past, and he just continued to do what he was doing blindly.
And so I'm guessing that this isn't an isolated event in as far as the self-help industry goes, that it's pretty broadly unregulated. Is that right?
Yes, it's broadly unregulated. And one of the things that's difficult is it's hard to sometimes find situations where people may have gotten hurt. Part of it is because people are embarrassed if they feel they've been taken advantage of by someone, or if they've spent a lot of money for an event and they didn't really receive what they thought they would. They feel embarrassed that they've been taken by someone.
Yeah.
So they're reluctant to come forward to talk about it. And and I believe there have been cases with different people in the industry where there were quiet settlements that were made to keep people quiet and not to make a big deal and to kind of go away. So very little has been publicized about some of the dangers that have happened. But we learned that just in James Ray's history, you know, the 5, 6, 7 years leading up to Sedona, there had been injury. And people had gotten hurt. He had done an event in Hawaii where people broke their hands breaking a cement block. And again, it was up to them to get themselves to the hospital and to take care of whatever the problems were. And he just he washed his hands of that and assumed no responsibility. So it's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, and like, you know, we had been talking, you don't expect, one of the things that you mentioned was that he just very blatantly lied about credentials and experience and education, and you don't expect that.
No, you don't. Yeah. And, you know, so one of the things that we did in putting together Seek Safely was our mission, our goal was, first of all, to try to do what we can to educate people about self-help and to help people understand that seeking, you know, going places or listening to a speaker or attending an event that's going to help you grow and develop talents in your life, that's a great thing, and it isn't something you shouldn't do. But we need to do it with both an open heart and open eyes, that we need to really keep our eyes open, because there are people out there that, because they don't have to, it's unregulated, they don't have to provide safety, they don't. And, you know, you might not know that. You can't assume that you're going to be treated in a safe and a respectful way. So, you know, we want to educate the seeker to be more discerning, to ask more questions, to pay attention to that little inner voice when you feel like, you know, and also to see if we can have some impact on this industry to try to bring ethical and safe practices to bear in the industry. So one of the things that we did this past summer was we put together what we're calling the promise. The Seek Safely Promise, where we're asking people in the industry to sign, basically to make a public statement of intent that they will practice in an ethical and safe way. So, you know, trying to see how to bring attention to the fact that it's important that someone who is trying to help others is going to be truthful about their professional background, credentials, and experience. And not to say that someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of education can't be inspirational or helpful. That's not the point.
Sure.
The point is that you need to know. It's important to know what your person's background is. You know, you assume that someone is a psychologist who's acting like a psychologist when maybe that might not be their background.
Right.
We're asking them to be accurate about, you know, when you're teaching, is this my personal opinion or is it speculation, or is this really information that's supported by research and science?
Yeah.
You know, people talk about one of the phrases in the self-help world is the laws of the universe. Well, who wrote them? Where does that come from?
Yeah, and, about that, yeah.
You know, it's a concept, it's an idea, but is it based in science? What does that really mean? It doesn't mean the same thing as gravity, you know? And then, you know, we also found that sometimes as part of a sort of a mind control tactic, people can be in these kinds of events can be humiliated or shamed, and that's just not appropriate, and that should not be allowed.
You know, when we were talking one-on-one before tonight, you mentioned that you felt like there were some signs that now, sort of in hindsight, you should have picked up on. I think it would be great for our listeners to kind of be made aware of those signs. And I just want to remind everyone, too, if you want to join the conversation, you have a question for Ginny, you want to tell a story, you're welcome to call in. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So, Ginny, just kind of coming back to what were those signs that you now know that you saw that you just, you know, didn't sit well with you, but you knew, but you now know that you should have attended to those better.
Well, yeah, you know, on our website is seeksafely.org. And on our website under resources, we have an empowerment guide for people to try to take a look at with some basic areas that you need to be aware of. One is if the schedule is so highly packed that you can barely manage to eat appropriately, get yourself to the restroom, take care of your need for sleep, if the schedule is so highly packed, that should give you pause. Because if your own basic needs aren't being taken care of and there's a level of sensory deprivation that's happening as you're experiencing the event, you're not going to have the same mental clarity that you would have if you were not in that kind of situation. So when people are, you know, like at the trial, for example, they kept saying, well, people chose to stay in the sweat lodge. They didn't leave. Well, if you're not in your right mind because you've gone through 5 days where you've hardly slept, you haven't eaten, you've been out, she was out in the desert for 36 hours without food and water, you're not thinking clearly, and your ability to make a decision has been impaired. So being aware of what the schedule is and how highly packed it is. I mentioned before signing a waiver. You know, it's important to ask the question. If you're asked to sign a waiver, it's important to ask the question, well, what kind of risk management plan do you have? You know, if I'm being asked to do something physical, are there supports in place to take care of me if there's an accident? You know, because you're signing a waiver, you're recognizing the fact, yeah, there could be an accident. I'm being asked to do something physical. But the person should have some support in place if there is an accident so that I can be taken care of, you know. I think if you're in an event, and this is one of the things that I saw happening when I had seen James Ray speak with Kirby at a two-day event, and he would bring people up on stage. He would bring people up on stage, and they were, you know, he would have them reveal very deeply personal things, which I was uncomfortable listening to because as a therapist, I'm like, whoa, don't, you're saying too much here, you know? You're really opening yourself up in a very, very vulnerable way. And I felt uncomfortable with that, but it was interesting because he was very insightful, asked the kinds of questions that as a therapist I would have asked the person. But because it's done in such a public place, I was uncomfortable, and I should have paid more attention to that. That's just not, again, it's not appropriate for good growth to take place when people are put in a situation like that. So, you know, there are things that a leader can do that make a person very vulnerable to their suggestions. Sometimes it's the use of what's called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which is a constant repetition of certain words, or using breathing techniques that can create confusion and disorientation. These are all things that don't create better mental focus. They tend to distort your mental focus. So these are things that people just need to pay attention to. And if the person who's speaking can't distinguish between opinion and scientific research and theory, or if they're deriding people with professional credentials, you know, they're putting down traditional religions, or they're putting down traditional therapies, that's not appropriate either. You know, what is that about?
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
That should kind of give us pause, because the world is big for a lot of different perspectives, but that the bashing of one for the sake of another is, again, something that's inappropriate, and I think is kind of a red flag that says, wait a minute, this person isn't being very open or inclusive, but is really trying to jam me down a particular road, a particular way of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I find it just fascinating that, you know, something that would be sort of posed or described as a spirit, like you were calling, you said it was a spiritual warrior training, you know, or a spiritual retreat. I know certainly, and I know that you lead retreats as well, Ginny, that when in creating space for spiritual seeking, for experiencing God, experiencing spirit, that it's not about packing in as much as you can in a 12-hour day. It's creating space and creating quiet, creating, you know, time with others, but creating time by yourself so that you're open. You certainly want to create an atmosphere so that the participants can be open to an experience of the divine. But by no means do we try to, you know, create that or make that happen by doing these kinds of really sensory deprivation,
coercive kinds of things. And I think sometimes when you're really anxious to learn, you may not always be so aware or cognizant that you're putting yourself in a vulnerable place. I think the other big red flag too is just that when the upsell for written materials, for, you know, other events, for the tapes, the CDs, all that kind of stuff, when you're getting this high-pressured sale pitch, that should also be another red flag that says, wait a minute, is this person really concerned about me? Or is this,
if you feel like,
you know,
you're just
being driven
into an infomercial, right?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Get to the back of the room in 5 minutes. There are only three left. You know, this is your last chance. You know, that kind of stuff should give us a little bit of pause when we're in a place where we're trying to, you know, expand our spiritual lives, you know?
Yeah. Because, again, if it's really about you and the person wants to give you an experience, if they run out of space, you know, we'll just create another retreat, you know. It's like
you want
people to be on this journey, and there's not a, you know. So, yeah, it's sort of the – I just find that fascinating. I've been thinking about this since we talked, that, you know, that whole idea of sort of being the snake oil salesman, the infomercial person, and yet what we're selling is spirituality. It's
right.
People's connection. Go ahead.
What I was going to say, I think what kind of broke our heart was that Kirby's intentions were so pure and so good. She really... you know, one of the expressions that was used in this event was he kept saying, you have to play full on, you have to play full on, fully commit, go all the way. And Kirby was a full on kind of person. She always played full on.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's also one of the reasons why she got caught up in the energy that he was putting out in that week was her desire to kind of play full on. You know, she wanted to expand her business, so she was there to learn business stuff, but she was also there for, you know, some personal insights about her life and things that she wanted to do. And, you know, I'm raised Catholic. I've worked in the Catholic Church for many years. And, again, it breaks my heart that the church that I know and love did not serve my daughter well. She experienced some, you know, disturbing scandals during her formative years. And I think because of that, she, you know, was seeking outside of traditional religions. And this is a huge concern that I have in having created Seek Safely, because I think there's a lot of people for whom traditional religions have failed them, so that they're seeking beyond some of those more traditional structures. And they're following people who may not be legitimate. They don't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we're going to take just a little break. I'd love to talk more about, you know, traditional religion and maybe some of the ways that's not meeting our the needs of the folks in the next generation. And I'd love to have some conversation with some of you may be listening of how we do that. And if, you know, how do we both ensure that folks can seek safely, but at the same time, how do we invite younger folks to experience what parts maybe even of our more traditional religions are we not exposing our young adults to? So maybe let's just take a minute. I want to tell you about an upcoming event that's happening here in New York City. I'm really excited about this. There's going to be a first ever Life Coach Radio Network workshop in New York City on February 8th and 9th. You can go on and learn more about it. But I've got a promo that I want to play for you all just to give you more insight and more information, and I'll talk to you about it in just a minute.
Hi, everyone. This is Russ Terry, the founder, executive producer, and host here on the Life Coach Radio Networks. We're having a huge event in New York City that I want to tell you about. It's our first ever workshop weekend. 15 of us will be giving a variety of self-empowerment workshops on Saturday, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th in the heart of the Big Apple. We'll have seminars on stress, spirituality, success, divorce, living your best life, and a lot more. If you're interested, go to lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. That's lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. We'd love to see you there. And now, back to today's show.
Thanks, Russ. It was great to hear that description, and in case you didn't notice, there will be a workshop on spirituality led by yours truly, Reverend Jen. So talking about going deeper and how do we use spirituality in our everyday lives, how do we incorporate spirituality into our coaching, into our work, into the work that we need to do to make the changes in our lives that we want to see. Again, I just want to remind you that you're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. If you'd like to join in on our conversation, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. 97. And I've been joined this evening by Jenny Brown, who is the founder of Seek Safely and is a licensed clinical social worker and a Roman Catholic laywoman who has worked with the diocese in New York for a number of years. And Jenny, I just would love to just talk some more about, you know, the ways in which we've seen that the church isn't meeting the needs, and what gives you some hope about the ways that the church might be able to meet the needs of folks like Kirby?
Well, I think what happens to kids in their adolescence is pretty formative and important. So I think youth ministers and people working in religious education programs are becoming more and more aware of the importance of good catechesis during that period, in those formative years. And we need to do a better job helping adolescents understand that part of their identity as they're developing into people and figuring out who they are, part of who they are is that spiritual person who has an awareness that there's some force, there's a life force, there's a person bigger than themselves, and that their life has meaning and purpose because there's life that's bigger than themselves. So they have the opportunity to participate and make a difference and see that their life has meaning. This is one of the things that I think is really difficult for today's adolescents, that they don't always feel like they're needed and important and that they can make a difference. So I think in a lot of religious circles, trying to get kids more involved in service projects, getting them connected to people in need, helping them to explore the fact that understanding their spiritual person is so critical for their development, you know. So I think that's, you know, that's part of it. When I worked in the Archdiocese of New York trying to help moms just understand that their spiritual journey was in being a parent, and that as they parented their children, they started to tiptoe into the concept of unconditional love, because we love our children in an unconditional kind of way. And that gives us some insight into the Creator, our Mother, Father, God, who loves us in an unconditional way. So all of our parenting journey helps to bring us to understand the importance of spirituality. So I think we all are seekers. We all have that thirst for a deeper sense of meaning in our lives. And there's lots of places where we can seek that and find that. I think, you know, in many traditional religions it's there. In other opportunities for people who are serving others, I think we find that as well. And Kirby used to say that, you know, she found her God in the ocean, you know, her absolute love affair with nature. And the beauty and grandeur and the splendor of nature was, you know, where she created spiritual connection. So,
yeah, and there are, you know, and as you said so eloquently, that, you know, there are our young adults and even younger, our teens and our tweens, they're seeking. They're trying to figure out, you know, what life is about. And we find that too in adults and folks who are in their middle age and older, who, you know, may reach a point in their life where they have a real spiritual crisis around, you know, what is the meaning? You know, is it really just about living these years on earth and then I'm gone? Or is there something bigger? Is there something that, you know, are we dipping in and out of a stream that sort of goes on through the years and the ages and the eons, and that there is something certainly bigger than us? And, you know, you know, and the listeners out there know that I certainly believe that. I do believe in a God that has always been and who always will be, and who really and truly loves us as created beings of God and wants to be in a relationship with us. And, you know, I've found that so much of my spiritual direction and life coaching practice is just working with folks who need to be able or need to feel that connection more deeply. They may have had it, or they may have experienced it, or they have, may have gone to church at some point, but may or may not be involved in a more traditional and organized religious way right now, but who are just really wanting to try and try to see if this, you know, if religion and spirituality can be something that they embrace really from a very deep place. And yeah, it's incredibly rewarding. I'm so glad I do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think too that it's important for all of us as seekers to understand that religions are human institutions to try to connect
Absolutely.
Us to an eternal reality. So mm-hmm. they're going to make mistakes, and there are going to be blunders. And sometimes, even in looking at the theology in a particular tradition, you may not understand or you may not agree with all of it. And that doesn't mean that then you walk away from that particular tradition. Because I think traditional religions give us a focus. And I know for Catholics, there are some teachings that are difficult for people to absorb. And I believe that it's our responsibility to struggle those teachings. Mm. So that even if I don't understand them or agree with them, I struggle with trying to understand at least what is the spirit of this law? Where is it coming from? Why is the church taking that particular perspective? So if I can't live the letter of that law, can I understand mm-hmm. and live the spirit of that law? And I think too often people just feel that maybe a teaching is too hard, so they just walk away or disregard. And I think that's a shame. Because that's, to me, that's, you know, the whole throwing out the baby with the bathwater kind of thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and because we are created the way that we are, we do seek meaning in our lives, whether it's meaning through a religious outlet or, you know, I mean, I find that, I think that all too often folks get tied up into trying to fill a void that they have in their spirit, in their heart, and they try to fill it with different human things where there is that place within us that I think that seeks a connection with the divine. And I would think that very often when we don't have that, we try to fill that void with other things. And what has been interesting to me is to see people that have sort of reached a point in their life where they say, you know what, I have everything. I have everything I need. You know, Jenny, I live in Westchester County. I live in a very affluent community of people. Mm-hmm. And the biggest question they have demographically is, what is life's true meaning? What is this all about? Because you sort of reach a point when you have all of the physical and the material possessions that you can want, mm-hmm. and yet you still find that there's something missing.
Yeah, you're still feeling an emptiness. You're still feeling a lack of meaning, purpose, connection. And that, to me, that's what spirituality is all about. It's you know, the whole journey of discovering meaning, purpose, and connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know my daughter was very spiritual in, you know, in many different ways, and made a difference in the lives of a lot of people. And, you know, the impact that she had on others was pretty huge. So her loss has just been enormous for our family, enormous for her friends. And I feel a responsibility to speak for her, because I think if she had her voice, if her voice hadn't been taken, she would have been saying what happened there was wrong, and this never should have happened, and we need to be more conscious, we need to be more aware, we need to be more discerning. And at the same time, I think she would have been fighting to see that this industry became more responsible, practiced in a more ethical and safer manner. So, you know, I feel that responsibility. And also, you know, when something, you know, when you know something, I feel a responsibility to have to share that. I can't just go home and look at pictures of the past and be grateful for her life and feel sad that she's not here today. I feel like I have to take what happened. I don't know why it happened, but it's put my life on a whole new trajectory. You know, a little over about a year and a half ago, I left full-time employment so that I could do this organization, because I felt like I had to. I had to do something, to make something positive come out of her death.
Right.
And hopefully it will. And, you know, hopefully people will learn some things through our website and through different initiatives that we're going to be putting in place that will help them seek more safely, embrace that journey with joy and with purpose, but maybe ask more questions. It isn't just about making more money that makes your life successful. You know, it's a whole package of who you are as a person and how you interact and what kind of a difference you make because you were given this gift of time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Amazing. And it, you know, it really is, you gain a different perspective and like you said, you make different choices. And your choice to leave the position where you were in order to be able to have the kind of flexibility that you needed to have in order to start this organization is pretty amazing. I want to just give our call-in number one more time if anybody would like to call in. We've got a little bit more than 15 minutes left in the show. Our call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And, you know, Ginny, it's really compelling that, you know, you talk a bit about the need to tell Kirby's story so that people understand, you know, her and her life and the way that she lived and really what she was looking for. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, she loved life, obviously. And so talk a little bit more about the ways that Seek Safely is working to get the word out.
Well, we have an educational website. We're trying to get a lot of good information up there for people to look at. We're not setting ourselves up to endorse or promote anyone. You know, we make that disclaimer pretty clear. And I don't want to monitor self-help people. This is not about the witch hunt kind of thing, because, again, the whole seeking journey is important for people to embrace. We just really want to encourage them to do it with the open heart and the open eyes so that it can be as safe as possible. We will be, in issuing the promise, that's on the website, and you can see people that we've invited to sign the promise and those who have. And we have signers from different parts of the world. I've heard from people in Australia. I've heard from people in the UK, from Slovakia, from Germany. So I feel like we're having an impact. It's, you know, little I feel kind of like little baby steps along the way, but I'm also looking to look for venues or places to spread this message, to talk about the importance of seeking, but the importance of doing it safely. So we're really trying to reach two audiences. We're trying to reach the person who has that thirst to grow and to expand their lives, whether it's taking care of a business or looking at personal growth and direction. You know, so we're trying to reach the seeker, but we're also trying to impact this industry to get it to be more ethical and safe. So in issuing this promise and asking self-help practitioners to sign it and make a public statement of intent, that's one way. I would love to see that work because that would be really self-regulating. But
right.
To be honest with you, it's been very difficult to reach people, especially some of the big people in the industry, and have them respond to this. So we're also going to be looking at a legislative initiative, trying to reach our legislators and getting them to look at this industry and the fact that it's unregulated, and what are some simple, common sense regulations that will help people to be safer. And I'm not a big regulatory kind of person. I don't like lots of rules all the time. But again, I think if you're offering a physical event, you need to make sure that you have medical support, appropriate medical support in place. If you're
right.
offering an event like that, you really need to have a risk management plan. If you're asking people to sign a waiver, you need to be able to demonstrate that you're minimizing their risk and that you have support in place if there's an accident. So some simple common sense stuff that I think everyone assumes is there, and the fact is it's not. To get some legislation to help make that happen is also one of our goals and one of the things that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah. So where do you think that the organization goes from here? You know, I love the mission of really sort of empowering people and also, helping. And ideally, yeah, I think you're right. In a perfect world, we'd love to have the industry itself to
mm-hmm.
self-regulate, or at least anything that's going to be kind of physically challenging, physically people being put at risk, having some, you know, safeguards in place, something, you know, like you were saying, a risk management plan. But, you know, how do we as spiritual and religious people, what do you think that we can do to better reach folks who are teenagers or young adults with an open heart and an open mind to invite them to explore spirituality and religiosity in a way that will fit, that will, you know, feed their spirits and their souls?
Well, I do think that experiences are powerful, especially, I was going to say for young people, but they're powerful for all of us. So there's a place for that kind of that retreat experience and a physical metaphor of being able to overcome obstacles or have your eyes open to a larger perspective. I think we need to help others understand that the spiritual journey is exciting. And, when people are introduced to someone who describes themselves as very religious or very spiritual, and they're not very exciting people and they don't seem very happy, well, that's not really too inviting.
Right.
So I think for all of us, You know, I think for all of us, if we want to encourage people to embrace that spiritual journey, we have to look at, are we living our lives with purpose and joy that's, you know, visible, that would be attractive to other people? Because if we're not, we're probably not going to attract many people to join the journey, you know?
That's right.
So,
that's right.
I often think about that, you know, that it's, and this is true. I think I said this to our children, our other children after Kirby died, that it's so important that the sadness that you feel and the anger that you feel doesn't squelch your joy in living. It doesn't drown your ability to still see life as a beautiful, wonderful opportunity, and to be able to really love with that big, full, open heart to other people and to embrace experiences. Because when people are grieving, they shut down, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle,
sure,
to keep yourself available to still see the joy in life. And I think that's really important. And when we're working with people who are going through difficult, hard times, it's important for us, I believe, to help them be able to embrace their sadness, but at the same time not forget that they're still alive and that we honor those who have left us by living, not by dying as well.
Yeah, that's a really, really key, critical message for folks who wants to be on a journey with someone who doesn't seem to have any joy in their life? You know, hey, who wants to be around people like that? We want to be around people who have joy. And I just want all of my listeners to know that Ginny Brown has a lot of joy. And it does not mean every day that you don't miss Kirby, because we know you do. But, you know, you making the choice to live and to go on and to move forward and to honor her memory in the way that you are, I just think is a testimony to you and to your faith and, you know, to the God and the spirit that you believe in, that allows you to move forward. And I honor that, and I'm so thankful that you could come on tonight and to share all of this wonderful information. I want to just give you an opportunity to share the website and, you know, how folks can get more information or to become involved. Did you want to talk at all about Kirby Jam and what you've done with
we
that?
We did a big fundraiser, and we will again in Orange County. We made it a musical event because Kirby loved music. She was all about blues and jazz. And I found quite a few of the local musicians that Kirby had supported and knew her. And we had this amazing jam back in October. So next year we're going to do it again in Orange County at the last weekend in September, I think the last Saturday in September, and we'll try to get some of these great musicians together again to just have a rockin' event that was just so much fun. And we had an auction, and people came and danced, and it was great. It was a real celebration of her life, her spirit, and at the same time we raised some money for the organization, which, you know, really needs support, especially if we're going to go in any kind of a legislative direction. We're going to need a lot more financial support. But keeping the website going and gathering information, I'd like to put together an event in Sedona, because quite a few of the signers of the promise are from Sedona. And so we're going to be shifting into looking at what are best practices in this industry and some of the practitioners that are really trying hard to be ethical and also to live according to this promise that we've put together. I had gotten a call from someone in Slovakia looking to translate our blogs into Slovak. So
there
are people who realize that these very basic values that we've listed on the website and put into this promise are just common sense, but they're needed. They're really needed for people to embrace and for seekers to understand that this is what you're entitled to. You know, you're entitled to be given truthful information, to have your leader be accurate and respectful and emotionally protective of you. And you have a right for the person that you're listening to live with integrity, that they live what they're teaching and that they're willing to keep you safe in your journey. So those are the things that seekers are entitled to. So on our website, which is seek, S-E-E-K, safely.org, we have the promise that we're asking people to give to those that they know who are in the self-help industry. Now, the self-help industry is huge because it's little people like us, coaches and therapists, and it's also the big people like Tony Robbins and Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay, you know. So we go the spectrum from, you know, but the self-help, everyone who's engaged in helping others improve and empower their lives are really part of the self-help industry. So having more and more people look at those basic values and say, yes, I do this. Yes, this is important. Yes, this is the way people deserve to be treated. And then for those of us seeking to demand that of the person that we're going to. So, you know, the website has the promise on it. It has the self-empowerment guide. We're doing blogs, and as I said, we're going to be focusing on best practices and maybe putting together some events for people to look at what are best practices for this industry. What are the things that people really need to be both providing and looking for when they're reading self-help literature or attending self-help kinds of events?
Well, that's wonderful. So thank you very much. I hope that folks who have been listening or who are listening to this in our archive or on iTunes will have the opportunity to go to your website to learn more. Ginny, I just want to thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight, for this wonderful conversation, for, you know, sharing more so that we can all understand better. You know, I know certainly before I met you, it never even would have occurred to me that something like a spiritual or a self-help seminar could be life-threatening. And and I've certainly learned so much from our conversation tonight and certainly from getting to know you. So I am just so appreciative and so thankful. So thank you so, so much for being on the show tonight. And I just want to remind folks that Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen is on every second and fourth Monday night at 8 Eastern Time. You're always welcome to call in and talk to us live. The call-in number every week is 646-716-9397. And even though we're getting ready to sign off, if you want to learn more about the work that I do in spiritual direction and life purpose coaching, I invite you to go to my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching. That's S-E-E-D, Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. So seedspiritualcoaching.com, and I can be reached directly at Jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. All for listening, and have a wonderful night. I will look forward to speaking to you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Ginny. Good night.
Okay. Good night.